Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome everyone to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, and I would first like to thank Gay Adegbolola, who brought us in with Hungry Woman Blues. And we all know that we have the cure for Hungry Woman and Hungry Man Blues on this show, where for the past almost 8 years in July, on second Sundays at 6, we dish up divinely delicious consciousness-raising creations to feed your mind, body, and soul. So before we get into our wonderful topic for this evening, I'm going to share with you a wee bit about myself. My holistic table has served up a lot of sacred offerings over the past few decades, from counseling, cooking to community capacity building, meditation to massaging, Reiki to writing and retreats. And I have just enjoyed one of my main creations, which combines, my holistic healing, teaching, and writing all in one big, beautiful creation, and that's Mind, Body, and Soul Food, this particular show, which has provided an opportunity each month to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information, as we also at the same time give voice to the vision of some truly gifted holistic healers and light workers. And I have been very blessed over the years to connect in a profound way with so many. It is like such amazing relational wealth that I never envisioned I would have. So it's wonderful to be in this position to connect with these folks. And so I love being able to share them with you. So I've been announcing over the past couple of months, I'm not sure if you haven't listened and you haven't heard, but we have expanded and we have more shows happening under the Mind, Body, and Soul Food Radio umbrella. And we have Medium and, all sorts of goodness, holistic healer, Khadija Seven, who happens to be my cousin, my sorority sister, my soul sister. She is now hosting on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m., and her particular show is A Wonderful Approach, and it is absolutely wonderful. If you have not heard it, you can find that as well as the Mind, Body, and Soul Food shows on demand. The same link, the same number, the same great energy with some very powerful insights and sharing. So I invite you to check out our expansion as well as our second Sunday at 6 show. All right, so let's move to tonight. And, you know, I have my ears out there listening, and I know that as we all continue to journey along this road called life, that we've been encountering situations that have represented, you know, threat and what seems like treachery. To us, just so much has been going on in the past year and a half, but this year, 2018, has certainly come in with a lot of things going on. Just seeing, even if you're just looking on Facebook and you're seeing people's posts, or if you're getting a text from someone asking for a prayer request, or reading announcements here and there, people are experiencing a lot of pain, a lot of loss, just really not knowing where this country is going, where our lives are going. And so it's really important during times like this that we tap into our resources. And, you know, I'm not a glass half empty type of gal, or even glass half full. I am a full glass. You know, it is full. And so I believe we have boundless resources to support us along this journey. And one particular one is Jim Goodwin. And I am so excited to have him come to the show for the first time, despite asking him over 2 years ago, and I dropped the ball, but finally I got with it, and we were able to come up with this date. And so tonight, he will share some tools and tips to help us traverse the treacherous terrain of these times and step more fully into our healing. He will be available to provide some readings. So we ask that you queue up now because the queue is growing. So dial in to 917-889-7806. Because we welcome your questions and your comments, all right? So, again, that's 917-889-7806. And make sure that you press 1, and that will let me know that you actually would like to speak. All right, I see that someone immediately did that. That's great. You are in the queue. So without further ado, let's give a warm mind, body, and soul food welcome to Jim Goodwin. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Tanya. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, good. And you are most welcome. Thank you for saying yes. This is one of those things that I always think people are going to say no to. And I don't know if I've ever gotten a no over the course of 8 years. Wow.
Well, I said yes to you several months back, but wasn't really thinking about the calendar so much. So it snuck up on me. So I'm going to be winging it. I'm not nearly as well prepared as I thought I might be. But thank you for inviting me, and congratulations on your almost 8 years of mind, body, and soul food.
Thank you for setting up a venue
to bring people of like mind together.
Well, it has definitely been a pleasure, and I am so glad we can now get you on. Don't worry about winging it. I mean, Spirit just has a way of taking charge. I like to say I plan, Spirit laughs, and that happens constantly on this show. So you won't be alone in that. So I would love for our listeners to hear who you are and what you serve up at your healing table.
I work as a professional counselor, licensed clinical professional counselor, LCPC. And my specialty is holistic health, mind, body, and spirit health. I'm also called a medical intuitive at times. I've been called a shaman. But basically, I help people to find their healing through a holistic approach, mind, body, and spirit. I have a small private practice in northern Silver Spring and work with clients there, and a number of clients I work with remotely all over the world.
I love that, all over the world. Doesn't technology make life so expansive now?
Technology certainly helps, yes. And because spirit is so grand, it is not limited by time and geographical space either.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the work that I get to do is I read people's auras. I can see the energy that flows through and around a person's spirit. And if I know who you are and I've tapped into you, I can find you anywhere in the world. So with technology and the broadness of spirit, it just gets better and better, wider and wider.
I love it. Well, you didn't start off doing this juicy good stuff. Your life journey has taken quite the path. And you started your career, or early in your career, you were an educator. So how did you shift from being an educator to where you are now?
We could probably spend the whole time just talking about that. But I'll try to give you a shorter version. As a special educator, we were taught not to specialize in any particular subject area. We were taught how to assess and discern a student's abilities and a student's needs and their learning channels, and then adapt the curriculum to fit them. So I learned a little bit of many curricula, but mostly how to adapt it. That prepared me very well for any of the teaching I've done since in my private practice or in different workshops that I've led. We all have preferred channels for learning, and I'm pretty good at figuring out how to break things down and make it sensible. So with my education career, I worked mostly with students, with children and adolescents with emotional and behavioral problems, and I loved it, learned a lot from it. But being a very intuitive and empathic person, having a strong faith in the workings of spirit, I very often got a lot of information about what was really going on with my students underneath the surface. I could very often feel the feelings that they were feeling. I could see things such as spiritual intrusions or dark energies. I could feel their energy. So I was often doing energetic work or prayerful work, spiritual work behind the scenes with these students who had so many challenges in their lives. And I just found myself getting better at it and more interested in it. And I really wanted to be able to bring the spiritual component of my work right out in the open and work it directly. Even though I worked primarily in alternative schools, there are still limits to how much spirituality one can bring out into the open, you know, while still honoring other people's belief systems and political boundaries and so forth, political correctness. So I felt a growing calling to work outside of the box, and including to doing the spiritual piece right out in the open and directly. So one of my very best friends, Susan, and I hope she's listening, said to me at one point, she was one of the few people in the world who knew that I could see auras and read them. She knew a lot of my behind-the-scenes work. And she said, you know what, Jim? I think you're going to be a medical intuitive and a writer. And I said, well, I hate to write, and what's a medical intuitive? But I trust Susan. So I sat with that, and she cued me into Carolyn Mace's work, Anatomy of the Spirit. And it was such a blessing at such a perfect time. It made absolute sense to me. She described a structure for the chakra system that fit so many of the things I was learning and seeing myself. She helped me put it together in a more sensible way through her work. And from that point, I just couldn't wait to get started.
I love that. And, you know, I think back, I do my best in life not to have regrets. But to have gone through the education and training and getting licensure to become a counselor and leaving the field back, I think 2001, 2002 is when I fully left the field, because I felt so many barriers and I felt closed in a box. And having expanded more spiritually, not at the time seeing a way to be able to practice more holistically. And today, you know, I would certainly do it differently, but I love how you were able to navigate that and come into what you're doing now. So kudos to you. And I'm just trusting that my path has taken me where I've needed to, but, you know, I do wish I could have been able to work more fully with my clients
in a way such as that. So mm-hmm. that's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Mm. Thank you. And honestly, I'm not amazing, but spirit is. The thing I do best is pay attention.
Well, you know, that takes some doing too, though.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Definitely.
But I had beautiful friends like Susan. I had others who helped cue me in. Some of them taught lessons in opposites. I call them the paradoxical teachers. And several mentors along the way. And the universe tended to steer them right in front of me at just the right time that I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of those teachers I had back in my bachelor days, I had a housemate whose name was Kibo, and he was doing a little silkscreen T-shirt business on the side, and he developed a line of T-shirts, Life University, School of Hard Knocks. So
okay.
I think many of us can relate to that. Yes, I have college degrees. Yeah. I have a license to counsel. But Life University has added all of the richness to it.
I am quite sure. So the current work that you're doing now, you know, I'm curious as to how the shamanism, how the medical intuitive piece comes into play. I know years ago when I was studying naturopathy, and this was before I began exploring shamanic healing, I had an assignment in which I explored a day in the life of a modern day shaman. And it wasn't assigned to me, but somehow I embraced that assignment to do. So, you know, that was fascinating to me even back then. So I'm just wondering, how does that work? You know, how it shows up in your current practice more. I know you say you read auras and you're tuning into energy. How else does that come into play?
Shamanism is a little bit different site for me. It's like my non-dominant hand. It's a nice complement to the medical intuitive work. And it's where my work can move into the weird and wacky and wonderful. It's often very, very abstract, but can be quite powerful and very healing and teaching. Shamans have been around for at least 40,000 years. We can find evidence of shamanic work in all indigenous tribes all over the world. The Mayan priests, the Native American medicine men and women, the healers in Africa, the Aborigines. The shamans have been around as long as there have been tribes, I believe. And the shaman's job is to be a bridge. The shaman is the bridge between the physical world and his or her tribe and the spirit world. And so they have to be able to be very adept, very flexible and adaptable, and have a good deal of practice in discerning the messages that they receive. So with my work, if somebody is seeking healing for a particular physical challenge, I will look at their aura, I'll look at the energy flow. We'll explore to see if we can find any thoughts or any experiences related to any blocks in energy. We'll also talk about the strengths that one can work with to generalize. Then I will often shift to my shamanic site and look to see if there are any other non-physical energies that are interplaying with the challenges or opportunities that a person is struggling with. I will often see a person's power animals or spiritual intrusions, energies that are more parasitic. They certainly need to be removed right away. But spirit is not limited to just human form, as many of the world's more popular religions might hold. Spirit often shows up in animal form, in plant form, in the elements of the earth. And at being part of all of creation, we can work with all of creation. And spirit is certainly broader than anything our minds can reach to. So I have found shamanic work, you know, particularly with the animal spirits, to be especially fascinating.
I love it, love it, love it. Whew.
Shamanism is also not limited, if I may, Tanya. Shamanism is also not limited in time and space. We like to experience time in a chronological linear order. But quantum physicists will tell us that's not so. They'll say all time exists at all time, or it's very circular. Shamans know that too. For instance, when one experiences a trauma in life, and as you're talking about treacherous times, a great many people have, and it really is coming to a head right now, I believe. But a shaman is adept at going back in time to that time of that trauma. Their theory often is that part of the soul, part of the spirit will split off and run away to a safer place. The shaman will go out into the spirit world in the middle plane and see if they can find that soul part, ask it why it left and when and what it would need to feel safe to come back so that the person in treatment can feel more whole and complete. So shamanism allows us to move forward and backward in time, which is also quite magical. It's very helpful for healing trauma and setting the stage for a positive future.
Well, we certainly need that during this time. We are seeing an uncovering of so much trauma that has taken place. And I wouldn't say that people are traumatized more. I can't make that assertion, but I can certainly say that people are speaking about it more. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Yeah.
All shadow comes to light.
Yes.
That's for us as individuals and certainly for us as societies and as a world population. I think this is a time when a great many things that were previously hidden in shadow are coming to light and being challenged. That's a good thing, but it certainly brings growing pains. Yes, exactly.
Lots of growing pains. Mm-hmm. Well, I see we have some callers. I do want to open up the call lines, but before we get started, I would love to hear from you. Some tools and tips that you can offer to help us all traverse what appears to be this very treacherous terrain with the trauma and, the shadow coming to light.
Mm-hmm. I think the place to start is really with our mindset. Over the years, I've collected a big toolbox, a lot of individualized tools, and anyone who works with me knows that I'm individualizing their treatment plan. But some very basic trusting thoughts are certainly a good place to start. I believe that all of life, good, bad, and ugly, as we might experience it, all of life is an opportunity to live and learn and grow. Live and learn and grow. If we can hold that basic principle that we can live and learn and grow even through the hardest of times, reminds us that we're not stuck. It reminds us that there are resources and that there are things that we can do. And if we can trust and believe and be patient enough, those things will be steered in front of us. Another thought that I rely on very often, if we were in a classroom, I would be using visuals. I love multisensory instruction, and I would pull up a slide of the DNA molecule. So if people could just imagine that in their minds, the DNA molecule, double helix. We are cyclical, yet we're growing and evolving upward, especially if we're paying attention. So if you can imagine that DNA molecule like a spiral staircase, there is always a thread of releasing the things that do not serve us. There's always an interwoven thread of building on the things that do serve us. And they're linked like a spiral staircase. You can't do one without the other. So if we trust that all we have to do, all we're here for, is to live and learn and grow, and part of that process is learning to release the things that no longer serve us, to build on the things that do, we will feel ourselves moving through, moving upward, becoming lighter, brighter, and easier.
Oh, I love that imagery.
Oh, good, good. Abraham Hicks is also an author that I very much appreciate and admire, and they describe source energy as many would call God, spirit. Source energy is an ever-flowing river of well-being. An ever-flowing river of well-being. If we can allow ourselves to relax into that flow through meditation practice, through our mantras, our affirmations, through gentle physical movement, that will help us to remove obstacles, to move, let go of things, to build on the things that do work. So a basic trust that there is a flow of energy that is good and is loving and is our source. That will also help us to remember that we can move through any of these troubling or challenging times.
Beautiful.
So I
beautiful.
Often teach clients specific ways to do that, ways to move energy, ways to meditate. If you can breathe, you can meditate. So if anyone out there listening thinks they cannot meditate, it's never worked for them, you just haven't been taught the way that would fit you yet. We can adapt
like
the curriculum.
That. If you can breathe, you can meditate. Okay.
Yes. But using our breath to remind us to relax into the flow makes life so much more bountiful and so much easier.
I agree
those
with you.
Maybe vague answers, but that's where I'd start today.
No, those are great starts. And perhaps we can get into more with some of our callers, what specifically can be helpful for them. And so I see that we have some who are in the queue. We are on Mind, Body, and Soul Food with our guest, Jim Goodwin. And we're about to open up the phone lines. The number is 917-889-7806. Please make sure you press 1 to indicate that you would like to speak. But, Jim, before we open up the call lines, I would like to know, is there anything that you need for our callers to know to help with this process?
Oh, well.
Or what they need to provide for you.
I'm open to doing my best to field any questions or thoughts that callers have. If anyone is calling with a specific question about their health and well-being, I'm certainly open to doing my best to help them with that. But in that case, if I'm doing any medical, intuitive, or shamanic work, I would need a person's full name. So if it's a very private matter and someone doesn't wish to speak their full name on the air, then it'd be better to set up a private question and answer. But yes, if we're doing anything intuitive, first and last name is my entree. Other intuitives might want to hold a personal object, a set of keys, or a photograph. Others might need a date of birth. For me, I need first and last name. But given that this is a public venue, only those that want to share their first and last name should ask personal, intuitive questions.
All right. That is fair enough. Thank you. And actually, the first person in our queue, I recognize the number. And so I am going to go live with our caller on the 240 area code. And caller, since I know who you are, if you would like me to text your last name to Jim, or if you don't mind using it, it depends on what you want. You might just want to make a comment. So,
well,
hello.
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 Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Jim. It's Aurelia. Last name
is
Carr Olverson. Hi there.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Great. It's good to hear yours. So, I I'm enjoying this show. I enjoy the show as always, and I'm enjoying that you and I are resonating in that, you know, tapping in and staying in divine flow allows us to be in this, you know, in the divine flow. And I feel that I resonate there in the majority of my life. I feel that that is my space. As of today, I have just relinquished a responsibility role that I have held for 6 years, and I am graciously giving it up and thankful that I've had the opportunity and that I'm giving it up. But I'm wondering if you see or what your guidance would be for me as my next phase in spiritual unfolding or spiritual blossoming.
Well, first and foremost, I always start in situations like that myself, I always start with the question to the universe, all right, Spirit, what would you have me do in place of this? For me, if a client cancels last minute, I'll just ask, Spirit, what would you have me do with this time? And I will usually intuit an answer. Spirit, what would you have me do with this energy? Spirit, where would you have me put my love? And usually an answer will come. Now, as you ask that question, I get image of you with your arms widespread. I see you teaching. I see you expanding your healing gifts. Your arms are spread and they provide an energetic extension of your heart. So your heart in the image that I'm seeing is shining very brightly and very widely, and you have opportunity to teach and lead others. I see you with groups of people. I'm certain there'll be individuals too, but the image that comes to me is with groups of varying sizes, small and large, and your willingness to stand up in front and share with them your gifts. That shines forth in yellow, which is a very spiritual color that I often see in prayer, and I see that melded with beautiful streaks of rosy pink, which represent your loving nature. So you're going to be teaching things that are very spiritual and very loving.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
It's quite an image.
I definitely resonate with that. I definitely resonate with that. I receive that, and I thank you for confirming what my heart is saying I would like to be doing next. So thank you very much.
Very good. And if I can continue, and this may answer some other people's questions, and Tanya's earlier question, you know, what can we do in this time? The outpouring of light is centered in your heart, but I see you well grounded in the earth. We have to remember our bodies come from the same building blocks as all the elements we see around us, the table of elements. Our bodies are made up of hydrogen, oxygen. The earth is the mother of our physical form. We want to be well-rooted in the earth, well-connected to it, because that nourishes the body. And it's the source from which our physical experience comes. And I see you tapped in to the heavens with a shaft of light out through the top of your head as you receive messages, as you receive spirit's guidance. All of that coming together in your heart. So you're just going to remember to keep your crown chakra open to the leading of spirit. You're going to keep your feet open to the goodness and grounding of the earth, and then your heart will know how to express it all.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Aurelia. That was absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I certainly look forward to the unfolding of all of that. That was absolutely juicy. And Aurelia knows that I keep track of her, you know, so I know. I'll be checking in. We have another local caller, this one from the 410 area code. So we are live on Mind, Body, and Soul Food. Caller, are you there?
I am. Hi. Hi, Tanya. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Hi. I'm well. I'm well. I'm curious about what you talked about, power animals, and I'm unfamiliar with that. Can you please elaborate on that and why they need to be removed? And also, I'm also going through a great change and transformation in my life, and I'd be curious to see what spirit you see that spirit has for me as well.
Okay. Deborah, can I ask your last name? Or if Tanya knows it, she could text it to me. Oh, she just did. Technology.
Okay,
is
I had
wonderful.
No problem telling you, but great. Great.
Okay. Nice to hear your voice, Deborah. Power animals, no, we don't want to remove them. They're very, very helpful. A power animal will help to complement any aspect of your energy that you could use some help with. For instance, I've got one of my, the first two power animals to make themselves known to me were a badger and a skunk. And I could see them out of the corner of my eye sitting on my shoulders. And when I finally got to see them up directly and asked, they just showed me what their gifts were. Badger is an aggressive healer, afraid of absolutely nothing, and a really adept digger. So a strong knowledge of roots and berries and things of the earth. Skunk raised her tail and showed me that her job is to protect me while I do this work. And she'll join in with the digging that Badger can do. So I call them in with any healing exercise, any Reiki healing that I'm doing, any of my meditations. I always include Badger and Skunk in my call to spirit. So your power animals can help to enhance any aspect of power that you might need a little extra help with. Now, I mentioned removing spiritual intrusions. Those are darker energies, and they're typically, they're not evil per se, but parasitic. They tend to latch onto us in a place of vulnerability. For instance, if we are overtired and we've worn ourselves out, they're going to be looking for a way into our energy field. They'll glom onto us like barnacles or remora and start sucking energy. But unfortunately, that makes whatever physical symptoms might have occurred are going to be magnified and increasingly uncomfortable. So I'll give you another example of a power animal. A lot of my work, especially the intuitive work, is done with my physical eyes closed. I'm looking with my mind's eye. And, I can get on a roll, I'll tell you. Spirit is so rich, and I'm a teacher, so I tend to over-talk. So I'm not so good with linear time. I'm working on it, but I say that several times every year. It's a continued growing edge for me. So I just asked Spirit one day, I said, I need help with scheduling and timing. I don't want to double book people. I don't want to miss appointments. What help can you give me? And I just felt a little whisper, journey to the lower world and find a power animal. I did a shamanic journey, went to the lower world, very lush rainforest where I came out, and a mountain lion came right up to me and jumped right on me. So I didn't have to work at that at all. It came to me and made it very clear, all right, you're here to help me with scheduling. Now, as I've gotten to know that power animal better, she has shown me how much she prefers routine, how she has a regular walking path, and she's helped me to establish more comfortable routines. And a number of times, just plain jumped right in and interfered when I was about to make a mess of my schedule. So Mountain Lion has helped me with my attention to linear time and scheduling. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Very much so. Thank you for that.
Okay. So if you were working with me or a shaman or entertaining shamanic practice yourself, just have some idea what your goal is, what you could use some help with, and then a power animal retrieval would bring you some of that help in spirit form. Okay, now you said that you're going through a transition yourself.
Yes, I am.
Do you have any ideas where you might be heading or where you'd like to find yourself?
I really am interested in learning who I am at the core of my spirit. And accepting her or him, whomever it is. I know that, I've been through this period where I've kind of suppressed my spirit and let my humanity lead. And now I need to step back again and allow spirit to order my steps and take me forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good for you. Even just saying that out loud with people who share similar thoughts will help to move the energies around you. All the right things are going to be steered in front of you. As you're saying that, I'm repeating your name in my mind a few times, and I'm not surprised by what you say. Keep in mind, I've not met the perfect aura in a living human being yet. We've all got things to work on. So I see some challenges in your third chakra and in your solar plexus. That would be the area of your stomach. It looks like your digestive system can be pretty sensitive at times in terms of some physical manifestation. But third chakra also is the seat of our definition of self, our self-esteem. So I can see that you are looking at that more closely and sorting through who you are and who you're not. That process is already in place. I applaud you for considering it. Any good trusted ear, someone that you can think out loud to, would probably be very helpful to you. And in particular, a trusted ear with some life experience and wisdom behind them, they'll help you sort out who you are and where you're going. Everything that you need is right within you, or right within your reach, guaranteed. That's true for everyone listening. Everything we ever need is right within us, or right within our reach. And so I just encourage you to start with a little more clearly defining your self-definition and letting go of old tapes, old limiting thoughts that no longer serve you, and building on your strengths. It's all there. And I think as you do that, your digestive system will settle down too. I don't see any glaring problems there, but I see that it can be sensitive and can get thrown off rhythm. Does that sound accurate?
I'm sorry I had you on mute, and it's absolutely on point. Thank you so much for that.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Deborah. All right. So we have had a request to revisit. So I am going to put Aurelia back on the line. And so Aurelia had another question. Aurelia, are you there?
I am. And Jim,
a twofer.
Yes, a twofer. We know what a twofer is. I would like to know, okay, I've been told in the past, and I believe I know that the spirit, my power animal was and may still be, but can you tell me, can you tap in and tell me what spirit animal you see as my power animal, and also what helping power animal I can tap into to help me finish the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Maybe. I only occasionally get to see a power animal. They'll show themselves if they choose to. So I'm certainly open to that. For any power animals to show themselves. In order to know what power animal to tap into, it's not a good idea for us to decide. They know way better. So we would just determine our goal and then do a shared journey together and let the power animal find us. A good example there, my daughter is... she's a wonderful young woman, and she was very resistant to potty training. So at 3 years old, we did a power animal retrieval just to get a power animal to help her with that. And she got this magnificent, huge blue whale spirit. I shared that with her. I blew the spirit into her chest and told her how wonderful, and she said, I really wanted a kitty. Okay, so it's not a good idea for us to decide. They know better than we do. A mouse spirit is just as powerful as an elephant, just as powerful as a blue whale. Mountain lion chose me. I had no idea what I was looking for. So what was your power animal in the past?
It was a snake, a very, very huge, large, very large, like lying on the ground when it came and presented itself to me. From lying on the ground, the girth of its body was about right under my breast as far as it's being on the ground, lying down, and just how thick it was. So it was huge.
Wow. I would say that that is still true. There are power animals that come and go according to different times in life. For a little while, I had a sea turtle. Now he only comes in if I call him, but he's not always here. Usually the first ones that we find, they're going to stick with us through a lifetime. That snake is still very, very present. And the snake is very, very helpful with growth and transition. You know, as you can imagine them shedding their skin. And they typically will take time, at least in our geographical climate, to hibernate in the winter. They take time to rest and restore themselves. And in spring, they have a great hunger. And as they grow, then they need to shed their skin to expand further. I think that's perfect powerful power animal for you to have in this time of growth and transition. There's another one showing itself vaguely. I can't see it very, very clearly. It's a furry creature. Okay, it's a bear. You have a large bear, and it's a mama bear. And I happen to know that you are a mother of some wonderful young men. There's a tremendous nurturance and protective quality with that. The bear shows me how she can lumber along and dig and explore and sniff the air, but then she shows me how she'll stand up on her hind legs in a very strong protective nature. No one's going to mess with her babies. So we'll trust that bear is very useful for you going forward as well.
Okay.
A wonderful resource. If you look what's the name of the book?
Animal Speaks?
That would work. Yes, Animal Speak would work. There's another one, Medicine. It'll be interesting to see what they write up for snake and for bear.
Okay.
And you can find them on, you can Google them online too. They'll probably give you a broader definition. But you've got protection there. You've got support with transition and with growth.
Thank you.
Just a very beautiful nurturing energy to come along and soften it all.
Thank you, and thank you for your explanation that I immediately said, oh, thank you. You said earlier, I'm a teacher, and then you said, you're a teacher, and so you tend to talk a lot. And so I said, oh, that's what it is. Thank you, because I was just before the show talking to a friend who said, I have to be transparent. I do have a long-winded nature, and he said, yeah.
Good. Oh, we trust you have much to teach, and you have many students coming your way.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking forward to it. A lot to share. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aurelia. All right. Well, we have other callers who are on the line, but they're not indicating that they want to speak, so I do want to give them that opportunity, and anyone else who would like to speak with Jim Goodwin, who is really sharing some beautiful insights today.
Okay.
So the number
and
is
Tanya,
9-
if nobody's if no one steps up, oh, I'm sorry, finish the number.
Oh, okay. The number is 917-889-7806. And press 1, because otherwise I am not going to open up your phone line, because some folks just want to listen in on the line versus to speak. So,
okay.
Jim, you were saying...
Yes, Tanya, I'm sorry. Again, I'm a teacher. I can't not teach. So
okay.
I'm still in my mind seeing Deborah's aura. And I just feel that intuitively several of the listeners will be able to relate to this. Deborah,
well, let me,
and myself.
Let me bring Deborah back on, okay?
Oh, she doesn't need to. She doesn't need to.
Okay.
What I wanted to say, and I imagine that you can relate as well, in these challenging times, there are a great many of us with a more enhanced empathy. Deborah is very empathic, and part of the challenge in defining herself is that she very much picks up on the energies around her, too. And sometimes it's hard to know which energies and feelings and thoughts are ours and which are somebody else's. And I say that because in Deborah's aura, I can see threads, especially through the lower half of her body, outward from her, energetic threads, much almost like a spider web. And I know that in these challenging times, I certainly have appreciated and been challenged by my own empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could speak a bit about empathy.
I would absolutely love it, because I can definitely relate to that as well, as you well know. So.
Okay.
Please do.
Empathy is a wonderful thing to have, and it's not an easy contract to hold. We are challenged to discern and establish and discern energies and reestablish countless times our boundaries, energetically and otherwise. So with all of the upheaval in the Washington, D.C. area, in our country, in the world, a great many of us can feel ourselves tossed all over the place energetically. There have been mornings when I've woken up feeling like I just needed to cry, and I had no idea why. And then I'd hear on the news about a terrorist attack in Brussels or in Paris, and my stomach would flip. I'm like, oh, that's what I'm feeling. Anything that is uncomfortable has a love antidote. Any energies that we're picking up on, we want to be aware. Well, it's a good idea to try and figure out where that energy is coming from. But if we do or if we don't, if it's ours or someone else's, any uncomfortable energy needs to be lifted to a lighter, higher vibration. So in other words, any fear, any trouble, any challenge has a love answer to it. So those of us who are empathic get to do energy work. We get to do it throughout the day, any day, or maybe it just hits us occasionally. But anything that is uncomfortable can be addressed, and it can be done pretty simply. Then we also need to work on reestablishing the boundaries so that we don't get continually drained. For instance, with the some of the terrorist attacks, I don't feel every one of them. I think that I'm going to just give the credit to Spirit for that. They delegate, and they know that none of us can handle all of it. So each of us will get a certain type of challenge, energetic challenge handed to us, because they know we can sublimate or bring up the energy to a higher level. So with some of the terrorist attacks, Brussels, Paris, and southern France, those hit me especially hard. The tsunami in Southeast Asia several years back was very, very difficult in my body and spirit for a few days. But basically I will send love and light and whatever healing it feels like is needed to that area. And then I will ask spirit, and I come from a Christian background. I wouldn't call myself a Christian now, though I believe still many of the teachings. I've also learned a great deal from Buddhism and from Hinduism and shamanism and Wiccan belief systems. So I think it all fits together. But I call on Archangel Michael. I will give whatever troubled energies I'm picking up on. I've gotten better and better at figuring out where it's coming from, though I can't always. And I will give it what I think it needs. If it is sorrow, I will give it comfort. If it is pain, I will give it nurturance. If it's intense anger, I will calm and encourage it to find a productive direction. And then when I feel satisfied that I've given it at least some of what it needs, I will ask Archangel Michael to swing his mighty blue sword all around my auric field and sever all energetic threads. We are meant to be aware. We're meant to give and to share, but none of us are meant to be tethered. We don't want any experience or any other person to be continually drawing energy from us, or we'll get depleted.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard the phrase energetic vampires. I actually find that to be quite true. So we want to give any challenge the love that we feel that it needs, but then cut off the thread so that we're not continually drained.
Mm.
Anything you would add to that, Tanya? I know that you're a very empathic person.
I think you covered that so beautifully. I know for me, a question that I've been asking more and more over the years as I experience something, whether I'm actually purposely doing healing work with someone or just, you know, as you say, waking up in the morning and feeling a certain way or going about the day and all of a sudden my mood or my energy shifts in some way, I ask the question, is this mine?
Mm-hmm.
And so checking in with spirit to see, is this my stuff that's coming up or is it someone else's? And so using that discernment, you know, and as you say, doing something to release. But I like that piece that you add about, you know, giving it what it needs in some way and then drawing that boundary. So mm-hmm. that's definitely a wonderful step. You know, years ago, I don't know if I knew the term empath or if I didn't have a lot of information about it, but I remember reading Judith Orloff, and it was one of her earlier books. And, you know, before the Empath Survival Guide, which I have not read yet, but I know she focuses more on that. So I think this is certainly a time when more and more people are discovering their empathic nature and realizing that, ooh, this can feel very, very draining. So they are looking for ways to be able to deal with this. You know, we have been working with this for many years, and it's not that we're experts. Well, I won't say you're not an expert, but for me, it's like, I thought I had shielded myself. I thought I was prepared to walk into a Walmart. Or last night I went to a beautiful, wonderful party, but was so incredibly exhausted afterwards because of all of the people and just being that sponge that soaks up. So mm-hmm. you don't think you go off to a party and you put protections in place or surround yourself with white light or, you know, or carry your crystals in your pocket to keep your energy in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of sneaks up sometimes.
Right, right. Yes, I'm sure you did set your boundaries, but guess what? We get to set them and reset them as many times as it takes. The image that I use in my mind, it's like fishing. You know, it's like casting your hook with your fishing pole and your line. Mm. People are casting their fishing poles, their hooks and lines as well. We all can do it. So we just keep cutting them. Mm-hmm. Give it some love, then cut the thread.
I like that. Years ago, I took a workshop with Meredith Self, and I remember she talked about this beautiful golden energetic chain mail. And I wasn't familiar with the term, but I certainly was familiar with knights and armor, and so I didn't realize that was the name of the apparatus that, you know, they wore under the, you know, under the knights, the armor. And so there are times when I am visualizing through the mesh of that chainmail that's surrounding me, only love in, only love out. Love in, love out. Because sometimes it feels like too many other things are out there swirling around and I just don't have anybody got time for that.
And Tanya, that's a beautiful image because the chainmail is so flexible. It's not going to hinder your movement as armor might. I love that imagery. I love that imagery. And I do know a couple people, a couple dear friends, Carol comes to mind and some others, who really are earth angels. And I don't mean that just in the, you know, nice person vernacular that we will often use, but there are some angels that have come to physical form to help out with all of this, and they can get quite overwhelmed with the competing agendas and manipulations, and just they often won't understand the dirty jokes or the subtle nuances or the passive aggressive jabs. It just is like, what or why? And they don't get why would anyone do such a mean thing. Well, their job is to be part of the net of light. Their job is to bring positive energy, beautiful light to the world. And I think there is a whole network around the world. So each of us is going to have a time and a task. Some people do get it daily. Well, then their job is just to be that light. Just bring that light from the up from the earth, down from the heavens, send it out to contribute to the whole, and then reestablish the boundaries. Even
and
if they
I
don't have a specific it. Cause.
I love that. I love that. I am hearing that with callers, we're complete.
Okay. Oh, another spirit for empaths, if I can just toss out there from the Hindu faith, Ganesha,
sure.
Remover of obstacles. And that has been a tremendous help to me, too. Ganesha, the elephant-headed man, is very adept. His strength, his gift, is to help us to remove obstacles from our path. Without force, without aggression, but simply, but certainly with determination and focus. That's another spirit that I will call on.
Oh, that's a great one, too. Thank you for that. I appreciate those tools and tips because that that definitely helps me, you know, with feeling so much during this time.
Yes.
All right. Wonderful. So, you know, I want to make sure that our callers know how to contact you, how to follow up, if they would like to have sessions with you. You've mentioned that you practice out of the Northern Silver Spring area, and I know you also do work around the world, as you said, so, you know, other types of consults. But how can folks get a hold of you to find out more about what you serve up at your healing table?
Well, Tanya, they can call you, and you can send them my way. No, I'm kidding.
No.
I'm not going to make you my secretary. I already have Mountain Lion to help with that. No, but people, any listeners would be welcome to call. My business phone number is 301-384-3002. Again, that's 301-384-3002. And I apologize, I don't currently have an active website. I have one in process, but I haven't launched it yet. I expect by this fall I will have one. But the phone number is a good place to start. And if someone would like to contact me through email, they could use Jim Goodwin, LCPC, at AOL.com. Again, that's Jim Goodwin, LCPC, at AOL.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. And brilliant teacher that you are, do you have any upcoming classes that we could get in on?
Again, I apologize. I do not, that I know of, precisely. It's a pretty busy time. I'm getting my second child ready for college, and I just moved into a new home and office a few months ago, so still getting that in order. But Spirit has let me know that I will be teaching again this fall. So I hope that you'll have me back. And I will certainly have a website and be able to post some ideas. I know that I will be teaching and leading workshops again by this fall, but I can't tell you exactly what the topics will be.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to that, though, because I remember some years ago I signed up for a workshop. Oh, my gosh, I was so looking forward to it. And what happened? I became ill, and I missed out. So I have had the benefit of having wonderful individual sessions with you, and I have witnessed you on a panel. So, you know, I know of your wonderful gifts and skills, but I would love to be able to have you back and to also let folks know about how they can get in on your workshops.
Excellent. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much for all that you do to
thank
help connect
you.
Us all.
It is truly my pleasure. Thank you for sustaining us this evening with some powerful mind, body, and soul food. And I would like to invite our listeners to tune in again next month on the second Sunday at 6 Eastern Time for more mind, body, and soul food. And we'll have a returning guest next month. We will have psychic medium and New Orleans It Girl, that's what I call her, Jamila White. She'll be back on for her yearly guest spot, and it's always a time when we are laughing. So if you would like to contact me, you can do so via my website, mbsfood.com. Find out more information about what I'm up to. Just to let you know, I have some speaking engagements coming up next Sunday at 10 a.m. at Unity Fellowship Church, Columbia. I'll be speaking on my book, ABC Your Way, From Danger to Opportunity. And that, I'll also be doing a book reading that following Tuesday at Unity Fellowship Church. On the first Sunday in May, I'll be speaking at Tacoma Metaphysical Chapel at 11 a.m. That's in Silver Spring, Maryland. And then on Mother's Day, actually before my show, I will be speaking at Visions of the Heart in Tacoma Park, Maryland. So look out for me in those locations. We have ongoing A Taste of Wellness events each month at Hippocrates Way in our Lanham office with Robin Bell and Julie Magrum, offering reflexology, massage, Reiki, and acupuncture. And Robin Bell and I will also be doing our women's weekend retreat, mind, body, and soul food retreat, June 1st weekend in Germantown, Maryland. So we still have slots available for women on that weekend. So thank you all for tuning in this evening, and blessings and peace to you all. Thank you so much again, Jim, and we're going to catch up with you in a few months. I'm going to hold you to it.
Thank you.
One, two, here I go.